And so we just right now pray for this man that Tony works for. Obviously, he's a strong Christian, godly man. Praise God. We ask you to help him. And through this giving and through this humanitarian aid, may the compassion of Jesus and the love of God be spread. We're not just doing humanitarian aid. We're giving in the name of Jesus. He's working with these people in the name of Jesus. And may he be able to reach out and help people. And may he have open doors of opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these Muslims in that country today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe and thank you for it. Amen and amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Anybody ever heard of Mark chapter 11? Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For verily, surely, assuredly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea.'" Notice this doesn't say that this works for whoever. It says whoever says to this mountain. That's who it works for. "Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed,' and whoever says, 'Be cast into the sea,' and whoever does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." On Sunday mornings, we're talking about how to experience God's best in life, so that you'll be blessed, and so that you'll go out and be a blessing to other people. Amen. And so based on a combination of spiritual principles, spiritual laws, spiritual commands, spiritual injunctions, and wisdom from the Word of God, we're looking at 12 ways to experience God's best in our lives. And so far, we've said, number one, stay in the light. In other words, walk with God. Walk in fellowship with God. It's so important for your life. I was thinking this, if you don't do it for any other reason, you ought to do it for your kids' sake. Every child should grow up in a loving home that's filled with the love of God, where their parents live for Jesus and love Jesus and walk with the Lord. And you know, such devastation in homes because people don't do that. But stay in the light, stay in fellowship with God, and don't let the devil condemn you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We said number two, have a joyful, positive, hope-filled outlook and positive expectation of good things in life. Amen. Glory to God. And number three, stand your ground against and resist anything and everything that comes from the devil. Don't accept it. Stand against it. Resist it. Glory to God. And that leads us to this morning. And what we want to talk about is this. This is number four in our list. Number four is learn the secret of faith. Learn the secret of faith. The secret is really a principle, but learn the secret of faith. And it's found right here in Mark 11, 24, where it says, "When you pray, whatsoever things you desire," amen. "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask, whatever things you desire," King James says, when you pray, here it is, "believe that you receive them." That's the secret to faith. Understanding what this phrase really, really means is the great secret to faith that will cause you to obtain any promise of God, to overcome, to live victoriously, and to successfully work in the body of Christ and do whatever it is that God has called you to do, because it takes faith to do that. Amen. Praise God. So what does it mean to believe you receive? What does it mean to believe you receive? Well, first of all, we are to believe we receive. Amen. So what are we to believe you receive? Believe you receive what? That's the secret to faith. Believe you receive what? Believe what? Glory to God. Many truly believe in God with all their heart. That's great and that's wonderful. But this scripture does not say believe in God and you'll have your need met. Amen. It's not what the scripture is teaching. Others believe the Bible is true. That's great and that's wonderful. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. And that will not cause you to get your needs met. That will not cause you to obtain the promises of God. That will not cause you to overcome in life. Others believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe He's the Savior of the world. Obviously, that's right. Obviously, that's good. But you can believe that. You can believe He's the Son of God. You can believe that He's the Savior of the world. and die and go to hell because you never received him as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. This does not say believe God can answer your prayer. It does not say believe God can heal your body or meet your need. It did not even say that you need to know and believe it is his will to answer your prayer. You need to know it's his will. Glory to God. That's wonderful. But this scripture it's not what the scripture tells us to do in order to receive what you're praying about and desiring and asking for. This scripture does not say, everybody say, does not say, believe in God, believe the Bible is true, believe the moon is made out of cheese, believe Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the world, believe God can meet your need, believe that it's the will of God to meet your need. It says, believe, you receive. What are you to believe? You are to believe that you receive them. Them is italicized in the Bible, meaning it's not in the original, but it helps us. Believe you receive them. The them is the thing you ask for, the thing you desire. You are to believe that you receive what you ask for in prayer. That's what you believe you receive. Aren't you with me so far? Amen. So we are to believe that we receive. Receive what? You believe you receive what you desired or what you prayed for. You believe you receive your desire. You believe you receive what you asked for. Amen. If it was healing, you believe you receive your healing. If it was a financial need, you believe you receive your financial need met. Glory to God. Again, you believe that you receive what you ask for in prayer. And if you don't do that, you didn't do what the scripture says. Now, the word receive here, because to understand this principle and this secret, you need to understand this. The word receive here means, that's what it means in today too, but it means to take possession of something. If you receive something, you take possession of it. Glory to God. Amen. Receive here can mean to accept. Well, the definition of the word accept means to take or receive something offered. Again, it means to take possession of. So we believe we took possession of, we believe we took possession of what we prayed for. So you believe you got it. You accept it as now, right now being yours by faith. And so many, many, many different translations will say believe you have received. And they're simply trying to emphasize that you took possession of what you asked for. If you don't take possession of what you asked for, you didn't believe you received. If you're still trying to get it, then you did not take possession of what you believed you received. If you're putting it off into the future saying, I know God, I believe with all my heart, it sounds so good, sounds so much like faith, but it's not. I believe with all my heart that God is going to one day in the future give this to me. That's not faith. If it's out in the future, it's not yours. You didn't take possession of it. It didn't become yours. You take possession of it and you believe you got it. And so you say, thank God it's mine. I have it now. That's what it means to believe you receive. Glory to God. And so the Amplified Bible says, believe with confident trust that it, what you ask for, is granted to you. That was the Amplified Classic. The Amplified, New Amplified says, with confident trust, believe you receive. Now, why does it say with confident trust? Well, because the word believe, I'm going to say the same things as many possible ways I can say it, because if you get this, there's nothing you can't receive from God. The word believe has two basic meanings. Amen. Number one, it means to be fully persuaded or fully convinced that something is true. If you believe, you are fully persuaded. You're fully convinced. Well, how do you get fully persuaded? How do you get fully convinced? You go to the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So you continually hear the Word of God and meditate in the Word of God and study the Word of God until it gets deep on the inside of you, until it explodes as a divine revelation in your heart, until you're fully persuaded that what it says is true, regardless of anything else. So you must be fully persuaded. That is a part of faith. You must be fully convinced. Amen. So we are fully persuaded that we received and right now have what we asked for in prayer. Glory to God. Well, this will help you, though. There's the second meaning of the word believe, when it's used correctly, every once in a while I'll read an article, even today, you know, you'll read an article in the paper, or you'll read an article by some some English professor or something that say people just commonly misuse words. And one of the words they talk about is believe. And they'll talk about how people say, you know, I believe it's going to rain this afternoon. That means you think it's going to rain. That's not the right word, the way you use the word believe. Because the word believe means to accept something as true. You accept something as being absolutely the truth, as absolutely real, even though you can't prove it. You accept it as being true. You acknowledge it as being true by faith. Amen. You don't know it's true, in other words, because you can have any physical evidence or any physical proof that it's true. I know that there are angels in this room with me, but I don't have any physical proof of that. But I believe it. I believe it. And they are. In reality, they are in this room. Amen. Why? Because the Word of God says they are. Amen. So you don't know what's true because of physical evidence or physical truth, but you accept it as being true as a matter of faith. To say it another way, you accept it as being true without any physical evidence. If you've got physical evidence, you don't need faith. I mean, you always believe in God, but I don't have to believe. I feel good if I feel good. I don't have to believe I'm healed if the doctor says I'm healed and there's nothing wrong in my body. But I believe, regardless of how I feel, good or bad, I believe I'm healed because the Word of God says I'm healed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So that's the real definition of the word believe biblically and then today. Somebody says, you know, talking about somebody that's been accused of something, maybe they've even been arrested. And maybe people are saying all kind of things about them. And somebody says, I believe with all my heart that they are innocent. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people say about them. I know that all the evidence says they are guilty of sin. They are guilty, 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 guilty according to the physical evidence. But I know them. See, that's where faith comes from. But I know them. I believe they are 100% innocent. Why? Because you trust them. That's what believe means. So we are to be fully persuaded and fully convinced and accept without any physical proof that we have received what we asked for in prayer. Believe, be fully persuaded, be fully convinced, believe. Be persuaded and convinced that you have without any physical proof before you see anything different, before you see the manifestation of the promise. You believe that you got it. You believe that you received it. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it means to believe you receive. Now, why can you do that? Why would you believe something is true even though you can't prove it, even though you can't see it? Glory to God. Well, we can believe that we have something that we can't see or feel, or even though our physical senses and mind tell us that it's not true. Maybe what we believe we receive, not only do we not have physical evidence that it's true, the physical evidence that we have says it's not true. It even contradicts it. Why can you believe that? Because you have the word of your Creator, Almighty God, said it. And what He said is absolutely true, regardless of what we can feel or see. And ultimately and finally, it always proves out that what He says is true. It overrides and changes. And when it becomes manifest, we see that what He said was true all along. He knows a little bit more than we know. Amen. Praise God. And so this is how faith works in every area, not just the prayer of faith. That's what Mark 11:24 is. It's a prayer. We call it the prayer of faith. But you could just look into the Word for yourself and see that the Word of God tells you that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And so you don't wait till you can do all things through Christ Jesus. The Bible already says you can do all things in Christ Jesus. You don't wait till you feel like you can do all things. You don't wait till it seems like you can do all things. You go ahead and boldly believe in your heart, I can do all things. I don't care what my third grade music teacher said to me. I don't care what my aunt said to me. I don't care what my friends say about me. I don't care what my aptitude tests say about me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can right now. I'm not waiting to get there. I believe I have that right now. I possess that right now. And when you believe that, then you'll talk like it so, and you should talk like it so, and you should act like it so. Glory to God. And then you will begin to experience what you believe in your heart. Hallelujah. That's how Mark 11, 20, 23 works. You believe that what you say will come to pass. You believe it. You believe it. Amen. Glory to God. Because God said so. And what he says is the truth, regardless of how it looks or feels. We believe, we are fully, fully convinced that we have received our prayer. Now, if you're not fully convinced, then this won't work for you. But see, even if you are fully persuaded and fully convinced, if you don't understand the principle, you'll just believe that God's one day in the future going to do it, and that's not how it works. You must believe, be fully persuaded that you received the answer to your prayer. Glory to God, you received your need met when you prayed, before you saw anything change in the natural world. Then you shall have it. You believe, then you have. People want to have, then they'll believe. Why, anybody can do that. I mean, you could have a dog's intelligence and do that. You believe first. What do you believe? You believe that you got it. You believe that you received it. You believe God heard and answered your prayer and is now yours. And then you shall is future tense, you shall have it. So you believe it's yours, and then 1 second later, 1 minute later, 1 hour later, 1 month later, 1 week later, 1 year later, it manifests in the natural realm. But it all starts with you believing you receive. Can you say amen? So if you can see it, if you can feel it, then you know it through natural knowledge, and you already have it, and you don't need to believe. Amen. Believing only comes into play when you don't have any natural reason to know it so. You follow that thinking? Amen. Remember, the Bible says, some people says, well, that's weird. I'm not going to believe something I can't see. The Bible says faith, then you can do it without. Because the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. I like one translation. It says faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Hebrews 11:1. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is symbolic of all your, represents all your physical senses, you know, all five of your senses. And so we walk by faith, not by what our physical senses and what our minds can reason out because of what our physical senses tell them. Amen. Glory to God. And then understand this, the word believe itself in a biblical sense means to grasp or to take. Faith is a taker. So you believe, you receive. You believe, you take. You take it by faith. If you take it, it becomes yours. You believe it's yours. According to the word, it's yours. Not because of what you see or because of what you don't see. You believe you got it. And so you lift your hands and say, thank God it's mine. I have it now. Thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. So again, to believe in the biblical sense means to take or to grasp. To believe on Jesus as Savior is to accept Him or take Him as your Lord and Savior. To believe on Jesus as your healer is to take Him as your healer. So the secret to faith is to believe that you right now, before you can have it, The secret to faith is to believe that you right now receive and have what you prayed for, what you asked for, or what you saw belong to you in the Word of God. And understand, you do not have it yet according to what you can see or feel. If you could see it, if you could see you had it, you wouldn't need to believe you have it. See, many people are waiting for something to change before they'll believe. They're waiting to see something before they'll believe. They're waiting until they feel something before they'll believe. Glory to God. But real faith believes it has something right now. Glory to God. Because it believed it received, or because God's word told them it already belonged to them. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, realizing this truth is what weighs Brother Hagin off the deathbed. Amen. And the things he saw on his deathbed and the truths he learned there, those truths for the last 80 years, really almost 100 years, have been preached around the world millions and millions of times and have changed the whole world. But you know his story. He was born, you know, very premature. I forget now, just hardly a pound, No NICU, NICU units back then in the 1917. Doctor said, take him out back and bury him. Came to the house, said, just gave him to the grandmother because he wants to work on the mother because she's near death herself. Says, take him outside and bury him. Well, as his grandmother was taking him outside, she detected a spark of life in him. And so she wouldn't do it. She brought him back in and told the doctor. And he said, well, he won't live. He won't live but a day. But he gave her some little eyedroppers like some kind of mixed up food in it. He said, feed him the best you can with this, but he'll die. And so he never could run and play like the other kids, sickly all his life. At age 15, he became totally, totally bedfast. And five different doctors said, you'll die. Nothing we can do for you. No hope for you whatsoever. You see, Brother Hagin had a deformed heart. Not only did he have a deformed heart, but really everything in his inner cavity here, all those organs in here were all messed up. He had an incurable blood disease. Blood disease by itself would kill him. And so he had a deformed heart and all those internal problems, had an incurable blood disease. He said, you know, when they took my blood, it didn't look red, it looked yellow or orange. And so he had an incurable blood disease, deformed heart, and then he became paralyzed. He was paralyzed from the waist down, had absolutely no feeling in his legs whatsoever. The only reason he knew that he had feet is because he could see that he had feet. And he was partially paralyzed from his waist up. You know, he had about a third of his body from his waist up was paralyzed. But there were days, he said, that, you know, because he's trying to read the Bible and he's propped up sitting in bed. And he said, I'd have to concentrate with all my heart. And he said, it might take me 10 minutes to turn one page. Think about that. And then he could only do that in the morning because in the afternoon he couldn't do anything but lie there because he was so debilitated. Went down to death's door on several occasions. Said he wore the varnish off the bed from holding on. So he was on that bed for 6 months. He got some light, saw some things about divine healing, about prayer and so forth. And he said, I would pray and ask God to heal me. And he said, after I'd pray, because you know, you get in the presence of God and you pray, you kind of feel good. And he said, I'd feel good. I just feel like this is it. I'm asking God to heal me. But he found Mark 11:24. It says, whatever you desire. Oh, God, I desire. I've always been sick. I've never been able to run and play like the other kids. Oh, I desire to be healed so much. And I believe. And he said, I just would feel like God heard me. And it's like I had some kind of good spiritual feeling. And I think, This is it. He said, but then I checked my pulse and my heart was still beating crazy. My legs were still paralyzed, couldn't move them, didn't know they were there. Then he would just start crying, get super depressed, just couldn't understand why. Sometimes he wouldn't even read his Bible then for another 2 weeks, you know, just be depressed about it and even angry about it and upset about it. But then one morning after he'd been on that bed of affliction for 6 months, he said to the Lord, and he said, what happened that day is where I learned the secret of faith. But he said to the Lord, he said, Lord Jesus, if you were standing right here beside my bed, just like my mother comes in here and stands right beside my bed, and I could see you with my physical eyes, just like I see my mother when she comes in here to wait on me, and I could reach out and I could touch you, just like I can touch my mother. If you were to come here and stand right beside my bed and speak to me and I could hear your audible voice, I could see you, I could feel you, and you was to reach out and say to me, son, the problem with you is you don't believe. He said, Lord Jesus, and I say this with tenderness, I say this with kindness, I say this with respect, but if you were to say to me, your problem is you don't believe, dear Lord Jesus, I would have to say to you, you're lying about it. I do believe. That's what he told him. He said, I do believe. And he said, but then Jesus said something to me, and what he said to me caused me to see the secret to faith and raised me off that deathbed. So on the inside, he heard, you know, not on the inside, just like we all do, and that still small voice in your inner conscience. He said, you believe all right as far as you know. Now here's a little side thought. There's a great revelation about faith right there. Amen. You can never believe beyond actual knowledge. You can believe something with all your heart, but if it's some tradition of man, just some religious tradition, it won't do you one bit of good. Amen? Sometimes people believe things that aren't true. They truly believe them. They're fully persuaded they're true, but it's not in line with the Word of God. It's not the truth. So you can never believe beyond actual knowledge. You get that? Amen. Praise God. And so he said, let me help you because I see some confusion. You know, it's like somebody says, I believe with all my heart that God is a good God, but for some reason he wants me to stay sick this time because he's teaching me something. Well, they believe, but what they believe is not right. It's not based on actual knowledge. You can never believe beyond actual knowledge. Brother Hagin believed, in essence, that God could heal him and believed that he was going to heal him. And after he got healed, then he would accept it. But that's not believe you receive, see. And so the Lord said to him, you believe as far as you know, but the last clause of that verse says, believe that you receive them. And he said, instantly the light came on. Instantly I saw it. I saw what I had never seen before. Glory to God. Brother Hagin said, I have to believe I receive, accept as a real fact, accept that it's really true, even though you don't have any physical proof, before you have any physical proof. Don't check your wrist anymore to see how you feel. Don't look at your legs. It doesn't matter what they say or don't say because of what God's Word says. You believe you got it. You believe it's right now yours. I have to believe I receive my healing from my heart while my heart is still not beating right. I have to believe I receive healing for my paralysis, even though from the natural standpoint, I'm still paralyzed. And if I believe that I receive, if I accept by faith that it's mine, then I'll have it. The believing comes first, the having comes later. The secret of faith we must all learn is to believe that we receive what we ask for in prayer, or to believe that we have what we say, or believe that we have what God's Word says about us before we see or feel or seem any different in the natural. You believe it so. You believe it. You know it so in one sense because you believe it so. We believe it's ours. Glory to God, because we have God's Word for it. We believe it's ours first, then you shall have it. Then you shall have it. Glory to God. After Brother Hagin saw that, he said, I'd never seen anybody do this, never been around any Pentecostal people, didn't have books like we have today, or certainly no tapes or anything like that, or CDs or MP3s and MP4s. Glory to God. He said, without any instructions from anybody, he said, I lifted one hand to heaven and I just began to praise God and say, Father, I just want to say thank God I am healed. I believe I'm healed. According to the Word, I believed I received my healing, so I am healed, regardless of what it seems like. I believe my heart is healed. I believe my paralysis is healed. I believe my blood is healed. I believed I'm healed of all these problems from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe I'm healed because I believed I received it, so I am healed according to the Word of God. Didn't say he felt any better. Said he believed he received his healing. Glory to God. Amen. He accepted his healing as being true without any physical proof, or before he had any physical proof. And he said, the devil was right there fighting me every inch of the way. He said, the first thing the devil said to me was, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. Anybody can see you're not healed, you're a liar. But he just said, no, devil, the Bible says you're a liar. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. And he read to him Mark 11:24, and he says, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. He said, I believe I receive. I am healed according to the Word. According to the Word, I believe it, I believe it. I'm fully persuaded I am healed. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. And so the Lord said to him, after he had done that for about 10 minutes, he said, the Lord said to me, he said, you believe you're healed? And he said, I sure do. He said, well, people ought to be up this time of the morning. Now listen, he still has no feeling in his legs whatsoever. He pushed his legs off the bed. He said, the only reason I knew that I had feet is because I could hear the thud when they hit the floor. He said, the only reason I knew I had feet is because I could look down and see. He pushed his legs off the floor. He grabbed hold of the bedpost. You know the bedpost? Amen. He grabbed hold of that bedpost and pulled himself up by the bedpost. Devil fighting him every inch of the way. The devil screaming in his mind saying, you know, his knees sagging, just hanging on just because he's partial strength with his body, down to only about 100 pounds anyway at this time, 90 pounds, I think, 6'2". Pulled himself up. Devil fighting him. The devil said, you're going to fall flat here on the floor, all crumpled up. Nobody will know that you're there, and you'll just have to lie there in that condition. But he said, I pulled myself up, and he said, I lifted one little hand to heaven and said, I want to declare to heaven, I want to declare to God and to Jesus and to every demon in hell, I believed, I received my healing, and I am healed. And he praised God that he was healed, hanging on to that bedpost. Glory to God. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. And after a few minutes, the power of God hit him. And he said it was something like warm was poured on the top of my head and flowed all over my body. He said, actually, he said, my legs felt like somebody was sticking 10,000 needles in them. He said it would have hurt if it hadn't have felt so good. And he was raised off that deathbed. Not in some great powerful meeting, not through gifts of the Spirit, because he discovered the secret of faith. You believe, you receive what you asked for in prayer. When you prayed, you believe right then that you got it. Glory to God. Amen. And this secret or principle will work for anyone, and it works in receiving any of God's provisions. Glory to God. So you believe, you receive. You say, it's mine. That's why that song, you know, we were trying to sing last week. We're working on it to get it better. But you say, it's mine. I have it now. Praise God. Thank God I have it. I believe I receive. It's mine. I have it now. Glory to God. And you talk like it's so. And you act like it's so. There's always a way to act your faith. Always a way to act your faith. You act like it's so. Glory to God. Despite your emotions, despite your feelings, the Word of God says you're forgiven, so you act like you're forgiven, and you say that you're forgiven, and you ignore your feelings. You tell the devil to shut up, praise God, because God said you're forgiven, and He's more powerful than all your feelings. And then you praise God. You thank God that it's so. And then very important, then never waver. Never waver. See, you believe, you receive. You believe you got it. You took it by faith, and you shall have. Believe you receive and you shall have, future tense. You believe and 1 second later, 1 minute later, 1 month later, 1 year later, you receive. During this time between you believe, you receive, and you shall have, don't waver. You know, James says, if you ask for wisdom or really anything else, if you waver, when you ask God for something, you know, you believe He gives it to you, but he says, if you waver, don't expect to receive anything. So you don't waver. Amen. You know that you got it because you got God's Word on it. You don't care what it looks like. You know, there's been times I believed I received and somebody said, well, is that, you know, if you're going to put it this way, well, is it manifest yet? I go, I don't know. I hadn't even checked. Let me check. How do you know you got it? Because God's Word said you got it. So you believe, you receive, you don't waver. Everybody say, no wavering. A wavering faith won't receive wisdom or anything else from God. Hebrews 6 says, and you could teach on this for months, says, through faith and patience, as you know, the word patience there means you keep believing even though you face contradictory circumstances. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises, so you must operate in biblical patience. Biblical patience means you don't waver, you don't doubt, you don't give way to unbelief when circumstances say it's not true, when circumstances go against you. In other words, you have to get in faith and stay in faith. You have to continue in faith, and if you'll get in faith and stay in faith, you will always get the desired results. But you have to get in faith and you have to stay in faith. Now hand me that microphone. Brother Gary Dalton, and I could teach you on that for a long, long time, but examples, you know, like these lights, they let the light in. Gary's a man of faith, praise God. Look at him. Glory to God. Looks like he's 50 years old. How old are you now, Gary?
81.
81, praise God. And so I wanted him, I know some of his testimony. I wanted him to tell you a testimony of where he believed he received, but then he had to stand in faith. Praise God. However you feel that, brother.
Thank you. I've had quite a few of those experiences over the years. The first time I heard Kenneth E. Hagin was in 1988. And Kay and I had just moved to Iowa. And the church that we were attending at that time, the pastor was not a Rhema graduate, but he did follow the teachings of Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin, that particular fall, had three satellite seminars. And that was back in the time, if you had a satellite seminar, the church had to rent one of those big satellites and stick it out back, and we had to rent a big TV in the sanctuary. So Kenneth Hagin, he taught on Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24, and he did that for 3 nights. And he would preach about 45 minutes or so, and then he would quit and come back the next night. And I had never really heard anybody preach on those two scriptures before. And so the first night I knew there was something there that I needed to get, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. Second night, I knew there was something there, but I really hadn't gotten the gist of it yet. About two-thirds of the way the third night, I said, oh, I think I'm starting to get this. You've got to believe you have it before you actually see any manifestations.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I can do that. So that was a turning point for me in terms of my faith walk. I'll get to what Pastor wanted me to talk about in a minute or so, but particular those two scriptures were involved in the first healing that I can remember, and probably the first healing I ever had. In that particular time, that's during this period of years, probably about 6 years or so. A couple of years after that, I'd had that seminar. A growth started appearing on my nose. And I'm thinking, it's just a pimple. I'll let it go. I won't do anything with it. Well, that pimple or that growth kept growing for about 2 years. And finally, one day, Kay said, you need to do something about it. You need to go to the doctor and take care of that. And I said, I'm going to go to Dr. Jesus. And so what I did, I read my scriptures on the authority of the believer, read Mark 11:23-24, and I got out Kenneth Hagin's book on the believer's authority, which I had read before, but I took about a part of that time as part of my devotions. I reread that book, and so that went on for about, from the time I said I'm going to go to Dr. Jesus, about 2 weeks elapsed, and I was doing my morning devotions. I'd read the believer's authority. One morning, I get up, go to work. I think it was a Wednesday. And I usually did not pay any attention to that growth there. But it had gotten large. It had gotten, originally in the beginning, it was hard. But now it had gotten soft. And you could, you know, there was some blood there. I mean, if it had pressed on it, it would probably bled. And it had gotten so big that there was a little point on the end, and gravity was pulling the point down. So one morning in the bathroom, I just said, I looked at that in the mirror, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse that thing. I command it to die and disappear, and I call it gone in Jesus' name. So I made my declaration. I made a faith declaration. I didn't think any more about it for about a week later, probably on another Wednesday. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm looking at that bump. I can't tell any difference. It's been a week. Can't see any difference at all. And I said, you bump on my nose in the name of Jesus, I call you dead. And, that's been a long time, so I can't recall exactly what I said, but that was kind of the gist of it. A week later, so now it's been 2 weeks, getting ready for work. About the middle of the week, I look at that in the mirror, and I see that bump there. It's still there. I cannot tell any difference. You know, I declared my declaration in faith. I don't see a change. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul devil, get out of my body, you get off my nose, and I call that bump dead and gone in Jesus' name. Another week went by. So now 3 weeks have gone by, and I look in the mirror, and this is, you know, between times, I don't look at, you know, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to my face, about 3 weeks after the first faith statement, I look in the mirror, I can see no difference. I repeat my confession. A week later, now it's 4 weeks. I'm getting ready for work. I look in the mirror and I look, wow, I think that bump on my nose has gotten smaller. I know it's gotten smaller. It was bloody, or, you know, it would have bled if I'd pushed on it. And that little thing on the end of it has disappeared. It's gotten smaller. It's gotten harder. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the healing I believe I've received. I thank you that thing is leaving my face. And that bump that had been growing on my nose right here for probably 2 years, in 3 months, it was completely gone. And you could feel it. You couldn't even feel it where it had been. And I didn't know as much as I do now as then. But that was the first time I really used my faith for anything other than finances. And another thing that I would say is Mark 11:24, it says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. That's the King James Version. The version, but I looked that up in, I Googled it, and I got 56 different English translations of that particular scripture, and I read them all, went through them. And I discovered, out of those 56, 33 said, whatever things you desire, believe you have received.
Yeah.
To me, I could understand that better than just saying receive. And so when I pray for something, I generally, first of all, I assume if it's something bad, it's from the devil. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if it steals, kills, or destroys, I'm assuming it's from the devil. And the Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. So if it's good, it's from God. And so I recognize sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the devil, and I should resist it. And the Bible says in James and 1 Peter, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I've had an experience where shortly after I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, where I actually had an opportunity to prove that. Resist the devil and he'll flee. And things were bombarding my mind, and I knew it wasn't from God. And so I had never heard anybody say resist the devil or use the name of Jesus against the devil. But I'm in the house, and I'm walking around just by myself, just straightening up and so on. And I heard I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit, saying, what did Jesus do when he ran and became across devils? And I said, he commanded them to leave. And I said, I believe I'll do that. And so I did. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that devil that's putting those thoughts in my mind, I command you, get out of my head and get out of my body now in Jesus' name. And I realized 15 seconds later, it was gone. It was gone. I said, if I had known that, if it was that easy, I would have done it a long time ago. Okay. So it works. It works. Now, the Bible says when you cast out a devil, that devil is going to go through the dry places. It's looking for another home. And if it doesn't find another home, the Bible says, it's in Matthew 12, that devil will come back to the same person he left, or that same body. Demons want a body. They're ineffective without a body. So they want my body, your body, whatever. So, but anyway, to get to what Pastor Mark had asked me to talk about, back, going back, let's see, roughly 1990, We did not live in the same town with my dad, but whenever I came home for several days, my dad and I, we would go to the mall, and he liked to walk around the inside of the mall. So I was walking with him inside the mall. We had gone around the mall one time, and all of a sudden, he just collapsed, like so. His right knee gave out. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Oh, I have a trick knee. It gives out on me." He said, "Sometimes I wear a brace on my knee." I said, "Okay." Well, my first thought was, well, that's, you know, he's being oppressed by the devil. I didn't say anything to him about it because he really would have not have understood. I mean, his church did not, you know, that was not something that they thought about or taught. So I really didn't say anything, went on. But as time went on, it got worse. And his 4 years before he died, he moved to Cleveland, and so I got to see him often. But he started walking with a cane. Pretty much wherever he went, he walked with a cane. He even had a ramp put in. He had a deck on the back of the house. He had a ramp put on that deck to make it easier to get up to the deck, get in the house. Well, Dad passed away in 2001. The story that I'm going to tell you about probably took place about 2008. And I worked at the car lot at Toyota, selling cars. One day I'm walking across the lot, and all of a sudden I'm walking along, and whoop, my right knee gave out, just like Dad's right knee did. And I said, "What was that?" And then I walked on. I didn't put two and two together. And one of the things that I once heard Norval Hayes say, he said, the first time you recognize something wrong in your body, attack it right then. Don't wait. Well, I didn't pick up on what happened. I didn't expect it to happen again. But I don't know. Time frame, that's been 15 years ago. But within several days, it happened again. And here again, I didn't put two and two together. And then it started happening more frequently. And so this probably went on for a couple weeks, and it began to get more and more frequent. And I don't know how many times it happened. It wasn't an extreme amount, but it was starting to happen more often. And so one day I'm walking here again, along in the, going from one building to another building, and all of a sudden my right knee gives out. And one of my coworkers is coming toward me, and he sees it happens, and he makes some kind of a comment. You know, might have been age, or I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was some kind of comment. And I said, "I need to do something about this. This is not right. I need to do something about this." And so, I was around people all day long. I mean, you didn't go around saying, "I rebuke you, Satan." You know, you don't want to scare people. But under my breath, I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get off my knee, get out of my body." And I went on. I didn't think about it anymore. And I would say probably about 2 days later, here again, walking around. It always happened outside for some reason. I don't know. And most of the attacks on me, personally, from a health standpoint, happened at work. So I think there's something going on there. But I think there were a few devils roaming around on that car lot. There were certainly some people there who didn't go to church. But about 2 days later, it happened again. And I say, and this time I'm prepared. And I say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my body. You're not allowed in my body. Get out and don't come back." About 4 days later, I'm walking the car lot like before. All of a sudden, my knee gives out. And, you know, I could have said, "Well, I guess that didn't work." But I said, "No, devil, you're not allowed in this body. In the name of Jesus, get out." And about a week later, now when I say later, I mean from the last time it collapsed on me. So about a week later from the last collapse, it broke again. And here again, I just kept repeating what I'd said before. Devil, you're not allowed in my body. Get out of my knee. I think at one time I said, you weak-kneed devil, get out of my body and don't come back. So now it's gone from 2 days to 4 days to a week. And then about 2 weeks later, it happens again. About a month later, it happens again. About 2 months later, it happens again. You notice every time it happened, the time between instances doubled. And so, you know, the devil, he's leaving. He's looking for somewhere else to go. He knows he's not welcome in my body, but he's going to come back and try it and see if I still believe what I said. So we're now up to 2 months. Then we're up to 4 months. And then we're probably up to 8 months. And at some point in there, I don't know exactly when it was, he just decided, hey, I'm not winning this battle, and I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back. And so, but anyway, that's my story. And as a good friend used to say, I'm sticking to it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Amen. Amen. Well, he could still be limping, but he's not. Amen. If you will get in faith and stay in faith. But the secret to faith is to believe that you right now have what you asked for, or you right now have whatever the Bible says you have. That you can do whatever God says you can do. Amen. Because you see that. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. I know in hearing him tell of this, his testimony before, you know, I think things actually got worse, didn't they, at times? And maybe I'm mixing up with somebody else's testimony. But I know I've certainly had testimonies where I believed I received and things didn't get better. They got worse. What do? You smile and say, praise God, I got it, it's mine. I believe I'm healed. I believe my need is met. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire. What do you desire this morning? Don't limp through life. What do you need this morning? What do you need to ask God for? You can ask God for it. He said, you come to me, I'm your heavenly Father. I love you. I care about you. You ask in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, and it's my perfect will to meet your need, to restore you, to forgive you, to heal your body, to meet your financial need, to take care of that situation. It's the perfect will of God. And so you just ask and just believe you receive. Take it by faith. Like Gloria, she said, this scripture came alive to me, but I just realized this scripture was simply saying faith is a taker. When you take it, it's yours. You just take it by faith. Take it. So right now, can you just say whatever things you desire? What do you desire this morning? What do you need this morning? What do you want to ask God for this morning? Just right now, people are doing it. Just say, Father, I ask you for it. It's according to your word. It's according to your perfect will. I ask you for it. And by faith, I take it. I accept it. I receive it as mine right now. And then you say, I believe I have. Gary's right. You can look at 100 translations and 75 of them will translate this scripture. You have received. Believe you have. Not going to. If you put it off in the future, you didn't take anything. I heard about this lady one time, you know, it caused the whole church to not understand what was going on. It's a Pentecostal church way back, not necessarily a Word and Faith church, didn't have those in those days, but they believed in divine healing, you know, very strongly. And the pastor's wife died. And she seemed to be such a strong woman of faith. On her dying bed, her last dying words were, I believe I'm going to be healed. And it sounds so much like faith, but it's not. And so when the pastor realized that years later, my wife was a wonderful person, but she, and we thought that was faith because she was such a powerful woman of faith, we thought. But he said that going to believe never was faith when he got a hold of it. She never did believe she was healed. She believed that God was going to one day in the future heal her. Glory to God. So you right now say it. Say, I take it. By faith. I believe. I receive. It's mine now. I have it. According to the word, it's mine. I took it. I received it. Glory to God, now I have it. And I just thank God. Now praise Him and thank God that you have it. Thank Him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that it's mine. My need is met. Glory to God, my need is met. My need is met. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now hang on to it. Hang on to it. Refuse to waver. Refuse to doubt. Refuse to give in to the circumstances. Because it's through faith and patience you inherit the promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise Him some more. Thank Him. Thank Him that you got it. Just reach out.
I just reach out.
And receive. That means take it.
And receive.
And say it's mine. It's mine. I have it now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have it now. We have it now. We have it now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. So whatever you may need, just reach out. And say it's mine.
It's so important to believe you receive, but it's also so important that you keep believing. I know people that they've got faith and they believe they receive, and they'll stand for 2 or 3 days, but if they don't get it in 2 or 3 days, then they're sunk. But there's been things in my life that didn't happen until 2 or 3 months later. I mean, I got it, but it didn't manifest until 2 or 3 months later. But it manifested because I wouldn't let go. There's been things that didn't manifest till a year later. Praise God. Amen. I know I had a motorcycle wreck one time, and I doing everything wrong, borrowed bike, everything wrong. But my knee hit the mirror on this side. Now, you know, it didn't push the mirror over. It sheared that mirror because it hit it so hard. Sheared it in two. Hit it. Right there. I have to remember that it was that one, but it hit it. And I mean, I wanted to limp around on that knee and so forth. But every time I believed I received my healing, I thank God I'm healed. Glory to God. And so, you know, I'd go along for 2 or 3 months like Gary was talking about. But then all of a sudden I'd feel that. And I could have just said, well, it's no big deal. You're just going to have this the rest of your life. But I'd say, no. I believe my knee was healed when I asked God to heal it all that time, and it is healed. And I'd go for 2 or 3 years sometimes. Then all of a sudden it'd do it. And again, the devil would rush back in. You're just going to have to, no. Just refuse to accept it, see. Refuse to, I believed I received, I'm not going to waver. And it got to a point where I didn't even remember which knee it was. I have to stop and think about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I don't have it for the rest of my life. But I had to stand and fight the good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight? Because you win. I had to stand and fight the good fight of faith over a period of years. Now, I wasn't dealing with it. I mean, it wasn't there every day. But when it came back up, see, people lose their, particularly their healing, by what I call the devil's counterattack. You actually get it, you receive it, and it's gone. But then he brings back those same symptoms, brings them to your mind, makes you feel them in your body, just seeing if you'll buy them back. Don't buy them. Don't take it back. Amen. If a package came to your door and they said, here, we got this package for you, and it's for something that you didn't want, and they say, you got to pay, you know, you got to sign for it. And when you sign for it, it's going to cost you $672. You wouldn't just go, oh, my God, and sign for it. You'd say, I ain't taking that package. I ain't signing for nothing. You can take that Bible straight back to the post office or hell, about one of the same, whatever you want to do with it, you know. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't take it. Don't receive it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I got it.
I believe I receive.
It's mine. I have it now. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.